You're listening to Orange County's only station with critical business information, Critical Mass, with your host, Rick Franzi.
Welcome to today's episode of Critical Mass, the radio show. I am your host, Rick Franzi. I host this business talk show, which airs live on Tuesday and Wednesday afternoons at 4 p.m. If you're listening to this show as a podcast, I would encourage you to listen live during our broadcast times, heard exclusively on octalkradio.net. The goal for this show is to help you, our listening audience, make better decisions. We do that by interviewing thought leaders and peer executives who have transferable knowledge, ideas, and experiences. I would like to thank Smart Business Magazine for sponsoring the show today. Smart Business Magazine is a management journal providing insight and advice for top decision makers. To learn more about Smart Business Magazine, visit their website, www.sbnonline.com. Select the Orange County area in the local journal section. Critical Mass, the radio show, is an extension of our 17 consulting practices. We build CEO peer groups for executives and business owners in Orange County, California, and do that in partnership with Renaissance Executive Forums. Executive Forums is an international organization committed to helping members take their businesses to the next level. And my partner, Doug Gefeller, and I currently chair multiple CEO peer groups. Doug is a master certified coach, a distinction achieved by less than 900 coaches in the world. Doug is our lead partner in charge of our coaching practice. And Doug also hosts a call-in talk show right here on octalkradio.net called The Coaching Perspective. Be sure to tune in every Thursday right here on our time slot from 4 to 5 p.m. My book, Critical Mass, The 10 Explosive Powers of CEO Peer Groups, was the first book ever written about the peer group experience, and it's available for sale on Amazon.com. You can find it simply by typing in my name, Richard Franzi, F-R-A-N-Z-I. If you would like to learn more about our CEO peer executing practices, then I would suggest you check out our website, www.criticalmassforbusiness.com. Say, if you're listening live and you'd like to join in on the conversation today, then go to the community chat room section of the octalkradio.net website, log in, post your thoughts. Our producer, Paul Roberts, will be checking it periodically and possibly will bring your ideas onto the show, and you can be a part of today's show here on Critical Mass. And we have two guests. I'm going to turn our attention now to our first guest. Our first guest is CEO of Textopoly, and I'd like to welcome Noshad Huda to Critical Mass, the radio show. Welcome to Critical Mass, the radio show this afternoon.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Well, you know, we're going to talk about a couple different things. You know, we're going to explore your award-winning technology firm. You know, I'm interested in the pioneering mobile engagement work that your agency does. I know that you've recognized brands like Comedy Central, Food Network, Chivas, and many others. You know, and I know that Textopoly, it creates solutions that for each client uses mobile in synergy with traditional marketing. And, you know, the mobile handheld marketplace is such a crucial area for B2C and also B2B companies. I'm very excited to have you on the show today. But before we get into all that, discuss a bit about your professional background that predates Textopoly.
Well, you know, it made the most sense to me after I graduated law school to go ahead and start a digital marketing agency focused on mobile. So that's what I did. I was in law school, saw an opportunity by looking at other countries around the world, saw how they were using mobile technology and said, you know what, I'll take a chance, start a business that focuses on mobile and creativity and see where it goes. I was working for a law firm full time, and then it got to a point where I took a leap of faith and said, you know, I'll try out this Textopoly thing, and if it doesn't work, my plan B is to become an attorney. So not a bad plan B, I thought.
You always have that to fall back on, right? And that's
not too
shitty.
Exactly.
Well, you know, it's interesting how you say you kind of looked at the global marketplace, which I think is powerful. So can you discuss a little bit more of the market opportunity that you saw when you started the firm?
Sure. So this is about 4 years ago when mobile was, you know, just peeking its head up around in the States. But over in Asia and Europe and Australia, mobile was being used in a much more creative fashion than we were using it 4 years ago. They had far more advanced phones and handsets than we did, and they were just using it, like brands were using it really well in conjunction with traditional marketing methods. In the States, you know, 4 years ago, the closest thing that we had to mobile marketing was American Idol, which was, you know, a fantastic use of, you know, a mobile handheld device communicating back and forth on a television set. So I kind of looked at all that and decided that, you know, there was a need in the U.S. marketplace for a business like this.
Okay, so that brings me to the logical question, which I'm sure some in our audience are saying, okay, I teased it a little bit in the opening, but what is it that Textopoly does? And if you could share with us, how does that make you different than maybe other firms in your space?
Sure. We're a boutique agency. We're a hybrid creative shop and technology shop. We focus on creating experiences that start or end with mobile. So whether it's SMS text campaigns to mobile websites, mobile advertising, apps, QR codes, IVR systems, anything and everything that starts or ends with a mobile handset, or nowadays even a tablet, our agency will create campaigns or solutions based on, or shouldn't say that, but using those technologies.
And share with us a bit more about the difference. I know when you and I talked, and you touched on it briefly just in what you said, but I'd like to tease a little bit more out of you on the difference between yours and others.
I think one of the major differences between what we do and what others do is we're a hybrid shop. We're a hybrid creative shop and technology shop. So, you know, in recent times, there have been a lot of companies that have come up and said they do mobile. Mobile is such a vast area. You know, there's so many different things you can do in mobile. We're the actual company that comes up with the marketing and the mobile campaigns and executes them all in-house. We don't outsource anything that we do, everything from graphics to, you know, development, hosting, campaign creation, client services, any of that traditional agency work, we don't outsource any of it. Everything happens here at our office in Costa Mesa. And that's a value add to our clients. You know, a lot of times our clients will appreciate the fact that they can call us up and ask us to make a change or ask us a simple question and not have to wait for some other country to wake up that's working on their project.
You know, that is to your credit, because you mentioned 4 years ago you had this as a brainchild, and now here you are, one of the fastest growing Orange County private companies. That's how you came to my attention. And you know, being able to have all that ability inside of a growing firm from a founder's perspective is a great thing, but it's also somewhat challenging, I'm sure, to have wearing that many hats in the business. But I can clearly see how that is a value to your clients, to be able to deal with one organization that has the answers in their own facility and shop. Though you are in such a dynamite space, and maybe some in our listening audience who aren't as comfortable with the technology as you are, living in it every day, could you give just a quick sense for how some of your clients or others in the industry are using the mobile devices? And you mentioned tablets, which are clearly on the rise in usage here in the U.S. I mean, how is that becoming an effective tool for them to reach the people in the market that they're trying to reach?
Sure. I guess there's been a recent push, recent inquiries that we have received from companies that you wouldn't normally think would be interested in the type of work that we do. And the type of industry I'm talking about is companies, medical, people that make medical machines, like things related to hospitals, things, you know, that do some very high-end medical procedures. We've been getting a lot of inquiries from those types of clients who are wondering, well, why are you interested in apps, and why are you interested in tablets, and why are you interested in the mobile space? And, you know, their answers are these tablets, for example, help us do our business better when we're, for example, at trade shows. When we're trying to do lead generation, it's much more appealing for our clients and much more simpler for our brand ambassadors carrying around tablets that can interactively show the inner workings of a machine that we're building, as opposed to walking around with a laptop or calling people over to a booth. So I think the use of tablets and the use of applications you can build on tablets is much more than things that a lot of brands are hearing about and talking about, which are, you know, let's build a game on an app. Let's build, let's do mobile advertising. Let's build banner ads. Let's do iAds and things of that nature. I think it's important to realize that there's an actual effective use that goes beyond brand awareness by building properly built out mobile tools.
And that's why I mentioned in the open that this isn't just a B2C technology. I mean, it's a B2B. Because of the examples that you gave, using technology to enable their sales and marketing people closest to the customer, not only to have at their fingertips information, but I also think, and you tell me what you think, it there's a cool factor to it as well for a technology company and for a B2B company to be able to empower their frontline employees with the latest technology. That's got to halo their brand as well as far as being kind of leading edge.
No, I mean, absolutely. If you walk, it's funny, you're talking about, the wow factor. You know, if certain clients walk into your business and you say you're a creative shop, but you're using not an Apple, you're using like PCs and things, automatically that wow factor and that interest in your company, deflates just a little bit. Because you oftentimes, it's synonymous that Apple users are cooler, it's just a stigma out there. And that's what makes you more creative by simply using an Apple machine, and that's the wow factor a lot of times. But the wow factor is very important to a lot of brands and a lot of businesses out there.
I agree. Plus, I think it sends a message to the employees as well, as far as having tools and, having spent a lot of time in sales and marketing. It is nice to be able to be differentiated from the get-go by using things like tablets and smartphones in a very interactive way. It does, I think, add a sort of spirit to the organization as well. So thanks for giving us kind of the behind the scenes look, because I know that many in our listening audience are not in the B2B space. They may be, not in the B2C space. They may be in B2B. So I did want to connect with them relative to the services and technology and how it can be applicable to their business as well. I'd like to turn our attention now, point you in a little different direction, and say, can you discuss, of all the things that you've learned in your educational background and your professional experience, is there a guiding principle that you're using today to lead and grow Textopoly?
The guiding principle is a quote that I actually have in the back of my business card, and it's and the quote is, giving up is way harder than trying. There's the aura that we have in our office that we will try to figure things out. We work and live in a space where the word apps wasn't even a word 2 years ago. We're doing things in mobile today that we were not even thinking about doing 8 months ago. So in our world, things move very fast, and we have to be fluid and flexible and just with it. So a guiding principle around our office is, hey, we're going to try to figure it out, and we're not going to give up on whatever it is that we're trying to achieve.
That has to be terribly appropriate both on the creative side, just by very nature of the type of work that's being done there, and then also on the technology side, because the advancement in the tools that are being developed, the hardware and the applications and the ability to reach an audience in a way that is ever more capable has got to keep your organization really, looking for, what is the best way to solve that opportunity for their client in a way that is, has some amount of legs, right? Is appropriate not just for the platform today, but what you see the platforms being in the not too distant future.
True. I mean, trying to build things for tablets wasn't even on anybody's radar, really 6 months ago. And now, just taking a look at what happened at CES and the number of tablets that so many manufacturers are coming out with, well, it's a reality. Now brands are going to have to deal with, and companies like ours are going to have to work in this 7-inch format and the 10-inch format of iPads, and then everything smaller than that, because that's where the consumer market is going. That's where brands and advertisers want to be.
You know, as you're talking, I'm thinking, you know, from a user's perspective, it is frustrating when the experience on my smartphone, and I'll admit it, I have an iPhone, when I visit a website and the experience is greatly different than the experience that I'm used to, say, off of my laptop or my desktop computer, you know, when it's harder or less interactive, if you know what I'm trying to say. I mean, that for me, that makes it – I don't expect that. I expect the same amount of ease of use on a mobile device hitting a website as I do if I'm sitting at my desk with my laptop.
Sure, and you probably also want to be able to see the same brand, the same branding on the website as well, or on the mobile site. You know, you don't want to go and open a mobile site and see it just being black and white text with some basic writing. You know, you would like to go to a site that's optimized for your mobile phone of the brand that you're trying to seek out.
Exactly. Exactly. And that is increasing opportunity because we're such a mobile society. You know, I mentioned to you I'm on the campus at a number of the universities here in Orange County, probably most notably Cal State Fullerton, and the handheld device is the predominant tool of that of the students that are in college right now. And, you know, it is just the way information is found by them and used by them. I mean, I see them with laptops too, but, you know, far more with their hand, with a device, a smart device in their hand that's able to give them answers and get them places they want to go much more quickly than waiting for their laptop to start up or whatever they might be doing. So it is certainly the future.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a recent article in the Chronicle of Higher Education, I believe, that talked about how there is this huge opportunity in that exact industry you're talking about, the academic world, and how the academic world is just not up to speed where technology is going. I think Obama even mentioned it during his State of the Union addresses. That's where we need to be as far as innovation and education and technology. We got to be able to push that forward. And I think our institutions will eventually follow. It just takes a little bit of hand-holding.
And companies like yours that
and
are
companies like ours
and figuring it out and helping to make it, you know, easier to implement.
Yeah.
I'd like to shift you in another direction now with the time that we have. As you know, I'm a proponent of peer groups. I believe that entrepreneurs and business leaders benefit greatly from collaborative thinking with true peers. It's part of the reason why I do the show. It's a virtual peer group in many, many ways. But I'm wondering if you could share an experience where by virtue of being around other peer business leaders, entrepreneurs, you gained insight and perspective that if you were not doing that, you probably would have missed. And that insight and perspective helped you further move your business along its growth path.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple of things. One is the peer groups certainly help with just brainstorming. A lot of times, if you're a one-person founder or two- or three-person founder, it's difficult to take yourself out of the day-to-day grunt and be able to see the forest. A lot of times we're so focused on looking at the tree that we forget to look at the entire forest. And I think peer groups help, you know, kind of take you out and have you see a broader perspective of your business from a lot of different angles, whether it's, you know, best practices or key learnings, or perhaps there's something that someone could share in the peer group that not only helped them, but said, hey, don't do this, instead of saying, do this. So peer groups kind of help with the brainstorming, I think.
And we see that, you're absolutely right, we see that regularly in our peer group meetings. I think of them as somewhat business Sherpas, and every member can be a business Sherpa for another member at a different point because they all have such varied experiences and background. It's not always a one-way street with that, but you know, what you said was very interesting. Not only is it capitalizing on opportunity, but sometimes it's avoiding business pain by virtue of not being able to make the best decision you could at the time with the information that's at hand. I'd like to ask you if you could talk about a current challenge facing the firm and the steps you're taking to mitigate the challenge.
Sure. As I mentioned earlier, mobile just moves really fast. The industry moves super, super fast. You know, anybody trying to just keep in touch with SMS and using all these flashy words like SMS and QR and enterprise solutions and CRM-based connectivity and IVR, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot going on in mobile. So a challenge for us is sort of, you know, being able to balance keeping focused in what we're doing as a company, as well as being knowledgeable about all the ancillary things that touch upon mobile. You know, I think it's important for a company like our size and to just be focused. I mean, it's very easy to be in the world of mobile and just get sidetracked about the newest and flashiest thing. But we have to be grounded in what we know, increase our knowledge base, so we can provide our clients with the best possible innovation and service.
So are you saying you're not just the think tank there, the textopoly, then you actually apply what you know to real-world problems?
I am saying that, yes.
As you said that, I'm thinking that is an opportunity and a curse. You're absolutely right, because there are so many new shiny toys and technologies that you could churn into butter in some ways if you weren't disciplined about being focused on understanding the future but delivering results in today's world that people have an ROI for.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. I can see, as the leader of a creative group of people who's a creative person themselves, that's probably a daily challenge that your organization has to deal with. So thanks for sharing that with us. Appreciate it.
No,
can you share with us an opportunity for growth facing Textopoly? I mean, it sounds like there's so many, but as the founder and CEO, you know, where are you training your sights relative to moving the company kind of for the next wave of development of the firm?
Sure. One of the areas they're moving in pretty fast is using methods in the broadcast and interactive world and bringing them over to mobile advertising. And what that means is when you see a mobile display banner ad within a mobile application, or perhaps you're on, you know, a CNN mobile website and you see a banner ad, by clicking on that banner ad, it does a lot more than simply taking you to a landing page. It's being able to create real interactive experiences, just like you would do on the PC web, but doing it for mobile. So that's the direction our company is going with. And we've done a few of these already using HTML5 development through really, really stellar animations and real kind of fun, creative experiences. And I hate to keep using the word over and over again, but that's what they really are. You know, it's more than just giving a user basic information they can touch. It's immersing that user into that interactive world, but all of it's happening on the mobile device.
You know, as the power of the smartphone and mobile device increases, as the bandwidth connection between that device increases, and as your industry continues to evolve the technologies and tools to build these applications, the word experience, I don't think, overstates what the future holds for us and for companies who want to interact mobily with their clients. Because, and I think we as a user population keep expecting more and more of a rich experience when we visit prospective suppliers or our current people that we're doing business with. We just have a higher expectation for what that relationship is going to be like, regardless of what tool we're using to do it with, whether it's handheld or desktop.
I agree.
And the commercials, et cetera, that are out there that show this and show can be, I'm sure, from going to CES and other, more technology events, you're seeing kind of what's just over the horizon. And it's a great field to be in. Probably not as exciting as law in many ways, but I'm sure, very rewarding for you nonetheless.
It certainly is, and I'm very lucky to be able to do what it is that I do.
And I'm lucky, and we're lucky, that you spent some time with us here on Critical Mass, the radio show. So if someone said, geez, that Noshad sounded interesting, I like Textopoly, what is it that they're doing? I'd like to learn more about it. Can you give them where they can find you, your web presence and homepage?
Sure. It's www.textopoly.com, T-E-X-T-O-P-O-L-Y.com. You can also search for us on Facebook. We have a fairly active Facebook page. So it's pretty easy to get a hold of us.
Well, again, I'd like to thank you for the time that I know that you put in preparing your thoughtful answers for the show here today. And, you know, thanks for being a friend of Critical Mass, the radio show. And welcome as our newest member of the business community, Critical Mass for Business. Thank you for your time today.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks, Rick.
Okay, have a good day.
Bye.
Bye. You know, Doug and I believe that business owners and executives learn best from the experiences of their peers. And I believe you agree that Noshad has some very insightful and interesting perspective, especially from a B2B. I keep kind of beating that horse, but I believe it's important that not just B2C companies look at mobile connectivity and how their websites, et cetera, and their experiences, as we sort of said, relates. You know, this happens every month in our peer groups that Doug and I facilitate, where the opportunity is to share with 9 or 10 other, 11 other executives, many of whom own their own businesses and founders and entrepreneurs. And that has a positive impact on the quality of the decisions that our members make. You know, just because you're in by yourself, that doesn't mean you have to be in business by yourself. We're going to be back with our second guest today on Critical Mass, the radio show. But first, we're going to step away for this word from our sponsor.
Smart Business Network is a business-to-business multimedia company providing insight, advice, and strategy for C-level executives of fast growth, middle market, and large companies. As one of the nation's largest publishers of local management journals, under the Smart Business name, Smart Business Network publishes 19 regional print editions, presents dozens of large and small-scale business conferences and award programs, and produces a vibrant interactive digital media presence. For more information, visit us at www.sbnonline.com.
Welcome back to this edition of Critical Mass, the radio show. I am your host, Rick Franzi. If you'd like to join in the conversation today, then on octalkradio.net's website, find a community chat room, log on, share your thoughts. Our producer, Paul Roberts, will check it periodically. Possibly he'll send me a message, and we'll bring some of your thoughts into the show today. So anyway, I'd like to turn our attention now to our second guest. And he is one of the founders, co-founders of Affliction Clothing here in Orange County, a very fast growth and hot company. So I'd like to welcome Tom Atencio to Critical Mass, the radio show. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Hey, Rick, how you doing, man?
I am fine. You know, part of what we're going to talk about is the evolution of your firm, and I know that you have a family of brands. You know, your company's like a cultural phenomenon and a commercial powerhouse. So, you know, tell me a bit about your professional background and how you and the others decided to start Affliction Clothing.
You know what? We started in August of 2005. That's when we launched it. And we all come from the clothing industry. My partner Todd has owned various clothing brands as well as a silkscreen company. And, you know, he's really good at sales. My other partner, Eric, owned a design firm, owned a snowboard company, and did a lot of design work for some of the majors, Billabong, Hurley, et cetera. And then myself, I come from a silkscreen background and a fight background, as well as, you know, a design background, too. So we got together, started the company, and it's, I mean, the rest is history. It's just been a great ride.
So tell us a bit about, and I appreciate you taking time to be on the radio show. I know you're a bit of a moving target, and you're actually kind of between things that you're moving around, so if people are hearing it, I know that you're on a mobile handset, and so I appreciate you taking time out of everything else you're getting done today, Tom, to be with us on the show. But tell the audience, in case they're not that familiar with Affliction Clothing, where do you fit in the market, and tell us about it, and just sense for the dynamic that's at work within your company.
You know, we've been real fortunate, and we've been able to establish our brand as a lifestyle brand. So we don't necessarily fit into a certain category, more of a demographic, but not a real category. Although a lot of people do think that we're an MMA or a mixed martial arts brand, we're not. We're a full fashion brand. We have our roots. We started out heavily in the music and tattoo industry. Because of my fight background, we got into the mixed martial arts and the fight industry, boxing as well. And, you know, I have people in the surf industry. I have Sonny Garcia, who's one of my professional surfers that I sponsor. We have Dan Fresh, who's a trophy truck driver. He drives the Baja 500 and Baja 1000. I used to work with Johnny Campbell, who is a very, very highly decorated Baja 500 and Baja 1000 motorcycle racer. And we're just, you know, we've been able to get a top-tier market and establish ourselves as a lifestyle.
And it's a combination of people that are interested in music and sports. Each time you talked, I heard kind of an active feel to the demographic of the clients that buy your clothing. Is that a fair appraisal from what I heard you say, or did I mishear what you said, Tom?
No, absolutely fair, very much so. We definitely have a draw towards the, as far as the men go, a very fit, educated, you know, top level, whether it's executive or up and coming kid that's pretty established. So yeah, we're definitely in the fitness area as well.
And what better place than Orange County? You know, as I listen to you talk about the demographic and the type of people that your brand's involved with, but this has got to be, and I'm not an expert in this area, but I'm a resident of Orange County, a great place for a company with a family of brands as you've evolved to really be situated. This has got to be a great area because of all the other things that are going on in Southern California.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as far as mixed martial arts goes, California is definitely, if not the mecca of MMA, it's definitely one of the largest areas for MMA. And, you know, the surf industry, the, you know, all types of lifestyles. You have, as you know, you can surf in the morning and ski in the afternoon. So there's a lot to do in California, and, you know, fitness is definitely part of the lifestyle.
I'm going to ask you in a minute to kind of help me understand, talk to the audience a bit about the family of brands that Affliction Clothing has in the marketplace. But before I do that, I can ask, Tom, is there a guiding principle that you and the other founders have used and are using to grow and build Affliction Clothing?
You know, I'd like to say yeah, but I don't know if I can pinpoint it. I was talking to somebody about this earlier, and I think individually we probably would not have been successful or as successful as we are, but I think the three of us and our other partner, I think the collaboration between us, it just worked. You know, Todd handled the sales, and he also handled a lot of the design elements of it and negotiations and stuff like that. Eric handled the design and has always handled the design aspect, and I handle the marketing. I handle basically the entertainment and sports marketing. So it's been my connections and my ability to establish relationships, I guess. And I think the three of us together have definitely helped to get us where we are, for sure.
And that is very common of successful companies, that the founding partners come with different experiences and abilities, and they allow each other clear space within the company to use their expertise and kind of move the company forward. All too often in companies where they receive a challenge at some point, many times it's because the original founders begin to kind of move away from what they know that they're best at, and that sometimes creates a lot of confusion. It sounds like here you are, growing as you are, you guys still understand where your your strengths lie and allow each other the wide berth to move inside that space and move the company in the right direction. Although I know there's a lot of collaborative thinking and talking that goes on within Affliction Clothing as well. Company. Can you share with us a challenge that's facing the firm right now and what you guys are doing to address that perceived challenge to your business?
You know, I think one of the biggest challenges is definitely the growth and having new people come in, don't really see or possibly even fit. Another thing is just like any other employer is going to have is people that just don't feel like they have vested interest or feel like, you know, it's just a job for them. It's an 8-to-5 job. You know, 9-to-5. I've always been here. I work 7 days a week, 6 days a week, 12 hours a day. And not that I expect everybody to do that, but, you know, as far as my other partners go, they're definitely the hardest working people I've ever met and ever worked with. So, you know, it's just that I guess the stride, the feeling like it is your own, whether it's not your own or, you know, whatever you do, you try to be the best in, and wherever you work your hardest. And I think a lot of people don't realize that if you only worry about yourself and you work hard, the rest will eventually come, whether you're an artist, an athlete, or anything else. The money comes later if you do what you love and you work hard.
And in the time that I was meeting with you and at your facility, I come away with a distinct impression that there's an energy within the company, probably flowing from the founders, certainly, but of people that are really into the brand and into the company and its positioning in the market. So share with us your various collections, the brands that you have and kind of where they, how you've positioned them across the spectrum, or at least as, you know, relative to your comprehensive brands.
Yeah, I mean, Affliction is definitely the leading brand that we have. And it's more of a top tier market brand with t-shirts that retail for anywhere from $50-something dollars up to, you know, as high as $90 for a t-shirt. You know, denim is going to be different. We have a full scale of clothing, everything from tennis, from shoes, boots, sunglasses, denim, leather jackets, t-shirts, thermals, etc. Then we have Affliction women's and men's. We also have another brand called Remedy, which is going to be a higher tier market, and that's going to be retail. T-shirts anywhere from $60 up to even $120. And same thing, we have, you know, jackets, denim, everything for both men and women. Then we have Extreme Couture, which is going to be more of an MMA fight brand, a little less expensive. T-shirts in the range retail from about $30-something dollars to $50. And then we have a license to throw down apparel, which is also a MMA brand or a combat brand. Sinful as well. Sinful is going to be right below Affliction, and that's just a predominantly, it's just a women's line. And that is actually doing extremely well. It's probably second to Affliction in sales. And, you know, our biggest customers are going to be the Buckle, Macy's, Nordstrom's, Metro Park, and we sell worldwide. But those are pretty much, we have a little bit of each market with those brands.
And so you had to be very careful, I'm sure, as you've evolved to the point that you're at. Could you just share with us maybe a little bit, step back, and how do you guys make the decisions to extend the brands in the directions that you've taken them to where you are today?
You know, we just kind of, you know, we're not a real corporate company. Sometimes we do fly by the seat of our pants, and, you know, we make mistakes, and we learn, and you know, if we trip, we get back up and dust ourselves off and move forward. We've been real fortunate in that Affliction from day one has been very, very popular with, I would say, the influencers out there, celebrities, musicians, athletes, and those people have worn it because they liked it, not because we paid them in the beginning. And I think that has definitely helped us to establish all of our brands. So, you know, we started out being very graphic-driven, and we started out in an area that was really untapped, and I don't know if we were the first to do it, but it definitely seemed like we were the first to do it, and that was to provide artwork that was very tattoo-like, very polished, very clean. And our garments alone, you know, using a 40 single, we did all of our own washes, we did all of our own cut and sew, and, you know, we put a quality product out there with design work that a lot of people really liked. So, you know, I don't know how much has been real, I don't want to make us sound dumb, but I don't know how much it has been real methodical. A lot of it has. But I think a lot of it's been really a lot of luck also.
Well, luck is always key for entrepreneurs. And where do you see the brand moving into the future? I don't want any confidential stuff, not that you would share that here on the radio show. But, Tom, from your perspective, where do you see the natural movement of Affliction Clothing into the future?
You know, just growth, expand the brand. Which we are doing. Our collection is definitely widened with the cut and sew. But just growth. You know, right now we have 5 retail stores that we own, as well as 2 in Moscow, Russia. For 11, it looks like we're going to be opening another 5 domestically, as well as 1 in Hong Kong and 1 in South Africa. So, you know, just expanding the brand and having a little bit more control with the retail outlets, because you can definitely get a little bit more creative. You can definitely expand your collection, and if it's proven in your own stores, then definitely it's an easier sell to wholesale to other retailers. So, you know, just definitely not getting stagnant, not getting complacent, I guess. And just continuing to evolve the brand.
Well, I love the energy that you exhibit. I like the energy that I've seen both inside your company, and it's evident in the way that you're in the marketplace as well. If someone wanted to visit your website, learn more about Affliction Clothing and et cetera, can you give them the website, please, Tom?
Yes, absolutely. AfflictionClothing.com. You can also find us at The Buckle. Like I said, it's a Midwest chain that started. I believe they have over 400 stores now throughout the country. And, you know, definitely Nordstrom's, Bloomingdale's. We also have SinfulClothing.com and Remetee. And Remetee is R-E-M-E-T-E-E. RemeteeClothing.com, I believe it is. You know, we also have our other websites, Extreme Couture, Throwdown. So, you know, I mean, we definitely have a huge presence online.
Well, you know, I appreciate you fitting us into what is a very hectic schedule. I know you're traveling a lot and bouncing all over the place to build the brand and keep moving it forward. Love your energy. Appreciate the fact that you've taken time, Tom, to be here with us on Critical Mass, the radio show. Thank you.
No problem, Rick. Thank you for having me on. And anytime, feel free to call me. I'm more than happy to speak with you again.